Hey listeners, Jennifer here. Do you ever feel disconnected or even lonely as a business owner? I believe a huge part of being really successful in business is making powerful connections. And because I am so passionate about community and connections, I have created a place for you to connect, network with other like-minded entrepreneurs, and even get feedback from a certified coach, that would be me, on your business. Every week, I host a one-hour coffee chat so that you have a consistent and free space to be in community with others who are on a similar journey. I would love to invite you to be a part of this community. Even if your afternoon beverage of choice is not coffee, I welcome you to join us. Go to the link in the show notes to join. I can't wait to meet you.
Imagine having a guide to walk with you through the ups and downs of entrepreneurship. Someone who has been where you are and knows the psychology and the magic of business done with ease and joy. Welcome to the Clarity to Cash podcast, the place for you to get crystal clear in your business and life so you can feel confident about getting to that next level of cash and impact. I am your host, Jennifer Jacobson, former therapist and certified life coach for female entrepreneurs. My mission is to get you the clarity you need to create the life and business you desire. Every week, I will be your guide to more clarity, confidence, and cash in your business. Get ready to feel the power of clarity to cash.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. I have my friend Monique Gomez on today, and we both have some things in common. We were both trained as social workers, so that's how we, I think, connected. And so she now is a trauma and resilience life coach, a body and energy worker with a master's level in social work or a master's degree in social work. And so I'm going to talk with her today about basically how she got started in this space. And she's going to teach us a little bit about her method that she uses, which is called, well, it's, I'm going to let her say it, but SafeNet for short, which is what she teaches and uses for her 6-month program. So welcome to the podcast, Monique.
Thank you, Jennifer. I'm so happy to be here. Thank you so much for having
Absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely. Happy to have you. So yeah, just tell us a little bit about how you got started in this space. And yeah, tell us all the things.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, I won't go all the way back, but since sixth grade, I wanted to be a social worker, and I accomplished that. And then once I had gotten fairly experienced in the mental health field, I decided to launch my private practice in 2021, which was prematurely closed because I didn't have a supervisor over me. And in the state of Arizona, there's some legality with that piece. Mm. And so my license was then put on probation. And so this whole trajectory of what I thought my life would be as a therapist came crashing down, which, you know, sent me into a tizzy. But also within that time of exploration, I was able to find here, Arizona Trauma Institute, they had a coaching program called Trauma and Resilience Life Coaching Certification. And I was curious about it because I had already had my massage business for about 3 years, maybe 3.5. Okay. And was considering that as an option to expand services.
Okay.
And so then I took the coursework and it was exactly what I needed. Exactly that was how I wanted to treat clients in the first place, right? Mm-hmm. The salutogenic method that SafeNet, the S in SafeNet is called salutogenic. Salutogenesis is about moving towards health. And so that attracted me to the program first and foremost. And then going through that training was just phenomenal. It was exactly the type of work that I wanted to be doing this whole time. And so it was just so aligned. And again, just so amazing outcomes that come once I started practicing. It hasn't even been a full 2 years yet. July will be full 2 years in as a coach officially. And so, yeah, there's just been so much growth and beautiful experiences with the clients that I've seen.
Amazing. I love that so much. I think it's so cool how life just, you know, it's like these things happen to us and they can seem like they're really terrible. And we can really, like you said, you kind of went into a tizzy, and yet it might've just been like exactly what you needed to get that push to find this new thing. And you're actually doing what you always wanted to do and what you always dreamed of doing anyway, just in a little bit of a different, just a little different of a modality. And I think that's great because it's kind of like my story as well. Like I have, and you and I, you know, have talked about this before. I was actually on Monique's podcast, or will be soon. We recorded just a little while ago. And yeah, I mean, I discovered life coaching and I'm like, this is so much more what I want to be doing because, you know, like the therapy was just going back into the past for a lot of my clients. And I really just wanted them to be able to focus on where they're going in the future, which just felt so much more empowering for me. So I love that you and I both had like such a great revelation of life coaching over therapy. And I still love therapy and I still do therapy, but I definitely, my heart is definitely in life coaching. So tell us a little bit about, who your like ideal client is, who would the perfect person be, for this SafeNet experience. And then, we'll dive into what that means.
Yeah. To be honest, it's anybody, because what SafeNet does is pull skills from your history that you can use now and in the future. And I think we all, whether we're, you know, super regulated, super awesome life, or if we're having a horrible life, you can all use the skills from our history. Okay. The clients that I see specifically for my 6-month container are people who have typically who have diagnoses like depression, anxiety, bipolar is also something that I'm familiar with. And so we work with the brain, and a lot of the salutogenic pieces are about stepping away from all of those symptoms. And so you'll hear me use these diagnoses terms, but I really don't believe in them. And so that's like the controversial piece of my work. And I'm totally proud, proud human to explain that your brain does this thing, right? It's your nervous system that is doing this. It's not a diagnosis. You're not sick and ill. You are a human who has, like I said, innate skills. And I help bring that forward and get you to your self-trust, your self-worth. And so really anyone who needs to bolster that is my client.
Amazing. Amazing. I love that so much. Yeah. And I think that's so helpful for my audience to know that this can really help anybody, that you don't have to have a diagnosis. You don't have to necessarily even have trauma, it sounds like. Right. For it to be beneficial for you. So that's amazing. So tell us a little bit about all these big terms you're using and salutogenic.
Yeah.
I don't know even what that means. So yeah, tell us a little bit about that and what SafeNet stands for.
Yeah. So salutogenesis, like I said, is moving towards health. So it's a big perspective. And just the perspective of pathogenic, which is what our medical system uses now, right? We find a disease, and then we treat the disease and its symptoms. So that's a pathogenic. What I'm using is a salutogenic, which is moving towards health and assuming capabilities. Okay. So not just capabilities, but there's a word for it, competencies.
Okay.
So like I said, those innate skills that we all have from our history.
Okay.
Another word, was that all the words that I needed to define? I'm trying to remember.
That was the big one, I think. Okay. Also, narrative exposure therapy is part of that. So it's, SafeNet stands for salutogenic asset-focused narrative exposure therapy. So yeah, just like summing that up for us, because that's it's a lot. Which is probably why you had to, you know, they had to distribute it to SafeNet.
Yeah, and even I talk about it a lot as the timeline activity. And so SafeNet, salutogenic asset-focused narrative exposure therapy, is really just a fancy way of saying the timeline activity. Okay. But what we do is asset-focused, like I said, is about being strengths-based, which a lot of therapists talk about. The field promotes being strengths-based. But again, the salutogenic perspective really amplifies that, because we don't ever use a lot of the negative terminology when we're asking questions, when we're, we don't jump into any of the feeling stuff. If it comes up, it comes up, right? But The narrative piece is, again, going into growth events. Growth events are things that you've grown from. So, for example, I always give my dad's death when I was 8. So back then it was a 10, obviously, a young child losing her primary caregiver. Now, sitting here with you, it's probably a 1 today. So that's a growth event because it went from a 10 to a 1 today. And so there's skills in that that I have.
Okay. When you say it went from a 10 to a 1, what are you referring to?
So the SUD scale is typically the 0 to 10 scale. 10 is like super, I mean, the medical field uses it. 10 is like, ouch, pain, you're screaming, you're crying, mm-hmm. you're freaking okay. out, right? Mentally, gotcha. Emotionally. 10 is freak out. 0 is total calm. Chill.
Okay. Gotcha. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yes. I know. And sometimes in that we use our own kind of rating scale. So like if there is a negative event, because again, it's significant events in your life. It doesn't have to be a negative experience. So maybe it was a positive 10 and now today it's a positive 10.
Okay.
Or a positive 10 and now it's a positive 4 because you don't really use it or whatever.
Right. Okay. So it sounds like what you're doing then is you're taking something from the past and you're turning it into a strength somehow.
Correct. Yeah. So there's a skill format after we choose a growth, the client chooses a growth event and we pick it apart. So they tell me their story and we find the skills. So we go, what was my first question that I ask is, what is the first thing that you did to bring it from a 10 to a 1? That is typically that first step. And we try to broaden the terminology so that it's something we can use in the future, right? I had a consult call just this week and she was saying something very clear to the situation, but some of it's like very broad, like boundaries, for example, or evaluating something, right? And so we play around with verbiage so that a skill can come about and the client gets a chance to label that skill and use it any way that they want. Typically, you put it in their phone, they post it somewhere, or they come to it multiple times a week with reminders, et cetera.
Okay, amazing. Wow, this sounds really cool. Now, one thing that really kind of piqued my interest about this method is that you don't actually have to relive any trauma. So can you speak into that a little bit?
Yeah, so when we do the timeline, there's part A and part B. Part A is the history, where we're just labeling the events or experience significant events and rating them. Again, on that SUD scale is typically the 0 to 10 scale.
Okay.
And labeling, we only do 3 words. So if your brain wants to tell you the whole story, right? Like I could have went into, we were at the hotel and then my cousins, we were playing and then my mom told me my dad died. You know, I could have regurgitated the story, but instead I said dad's death, you know, or maybe I put a year to it, 1999. And then I rate it. And so I facilitate that pretty strategically with my client. And I explain, remember, we're only doing 3 words for this event. Tell me the 3 words.
Okay.
And go to the next event. Go to the next event. So that keeps us out of the feeling brain and in the thinking brain, because that is where that growth happens.
Yes.
Also where the rewiring happens. And so that's why this method is so incredibly fantastic. And the outcomes are so expedited is because I'm keeping my client in the thinking brain pretty much throughout the whole time together.
I love that so much. Yeah. And that's so much a part of the work that I do too, because I believe that, and it's been shown time and time again, like the thoughts are where that's what you can shift, right? You can't just go in and change a behavior and have that go easily. What you have to do is change the thoughts about an event and change then automatically your feelings change and then your behaviors change and your results change. So I love this so much. So good. Can you tell us a little bit about like, what are some of the outcomes that you have noticed? You know, you work with your clients for 6 months and you're going through this process. What do you notice? What are you noticing about them when they've completed your program?
Yeah, first and foremost is more positive thinking.
Okay.
And that's the result of staying out of the feeling brain longer so that you as a human are reprogramming your own brain to have more positive thoughts, to be the outside observer, as you said, because when we're the outside observer, we can see all the facts of the situation and not be stuck mm-hmm. in our feelings. The other piece of this that I didn't realize was an outcome. It wasn't taught in the program, but clients are getting lost memories returned to them during the process. And like I said, it's not like they're reliving and being re-traumatized in a memory. It's more like the thought comes through of a memory and you're like, oh yeah, this did happen. But we're in the thinking brain throughout our time together. So they're looking at this event that was lost, like, yeah, that did happen, and kind of is what it is situation, right? Like, I did grow from that. I did do X, Y, Z, right? And they're comparing it to the skill that we created, because that's one of the questions I ask is, where have you used this before? Because the skill has been in your history. So very likely you've used it many times, if not every single day.
Amazing. Okay. And so they come out of this with skills they already had, but maybe they didn't even realize they had. So what are some of these skills that you see often when people go through this process? What are some of the new skills that they start using in their life that maybe, I don't know, maybe they weren't even aware they were there?
Correct. Yeah. So there's two cases, I guess, columns that you could put some of these in. One column is like the regulation skills. Okay. And calming their body down, almost like intuitive understanding of their body and their emotions. For one client who has a strong, long history of neglect and abuse, it's getting into her body, realizing it's not about her, and doing those skills, the breathing, the grounding, the separating herself and getting back into her body so that she's not disassociating every time she gets activated, et cetera. Okay. The other case, the other column that I'd like to speak to is this reassurance column of, kind of like you said, oh my God, I had this skill. Oh my God, I had this inner knowing. Mm-hmm. One example I give is someone who just knew she wanted to accomplish something. Like when you're really determined, some of us have that already in our hearts when we're born out of the womb, which is so crazy to think. But when we do this process, they're like, wow, this was me the whole time. Why do I doubt myself when this is who I am? Kind of reassurance.
Yeah. So cool. Oh my gosh. Yeah, this is really so impactful. So tell us, because I love this too. And not that we're down in therapy, because, you know, we don't want to do that. But why do you feel like this is more effective than talk therapy?
Yeah. So the same reason I mentioned, because of the thinking brain and staying out of the feeling brain, number one.
Okay.
Because a lot of therapists will ask, how do you feel about that, right? And we see it in the movies and we see it, and it's so programmed in our training. It's so programmed in all of the things that we do as a field. So that's the number one thing. The second thing, because I am a body worker and energy worker, that is incorporated into all of my programs, more specifically the one-on-ones, because you get special one-on-one time with me. And so the body work really supports clients in reflection. Because I think a lot of times, at least when I've experienced therapy, because I can only speak for myself and a few, you know, anecdotal knowledge stories, you don't have too much time to reflect if you're overwhelmed with emotions.
Okay.
Right? If you're overwhelmed with what's my next step in my relationship, what's my next step in my career, right? And I think when we hit our goals, whether it's in therapy or coaching, that could be overwhelming. So having that reflective period with your mind, with your body, with your spirit, it is so crucial in all cases, all the humans that I work with.
Okay. Okay. And, oh gosh, I just almost lost my thought. It's just right there. Let me get it. The body work. So let me ask you this then, because you incorporate the body work, you said, in everything that you do. Are you able to do, or how do you do body work virtually? Because unless all your clients are in person, which I don't think they are.
No, they're not. Yeah. So we do virtual Reiki is facilitated through, when you're a master level Reiki person, there's a symbol that you use in order to send energy.
Okay.
So that's the energetic piece. The physical piece is I incorporate obviously the video and speaking very clearly about moving the body. So a lot of things will look like stretching. A lot of things will look like yoga. I'll have clients take deep belly breaths together with me. And even, it's so silly, I got on the floor with one of my last clients probably 2 weeks ago now, but I put the camera on the chair so she could see how I was arching my back. Because okay. that is where, you know. And one thing about energy work and Reiki virtually is I'm the conduit with the energy work, which means I feel what you're feeling, whether okay. it's emotions, thoughts, or physical pain, right? That's why I went down on the floor, because we were going to do a lower back releasing technique.
Okay. Okay. Wow. That is so cool. Yeah, I love it. This is just so cool. And I can just really see how this can help so much. And I love what you said about like releasing these emotions, because it's impossible to reflect and impossible to like really get to that thinking place if you're overwhelmed with emotions. And so what would you say the first step is if somebody's feeling overwhelmed with emotions? Like, what are some of your tips? What are some of the first steps that you would suggest?
Yeah. And we do this in my coaching. I did this on a call today already. I asked them to rate it. So again, going back to the SUD scale, 0 is calm and chill. 10 is totally freaking out, crying, screaming, ready to jump off a cliff, right? Where are you right now in this moment? And they're quickly calm or take a minute to answer that. The other thing is I'll invite them to breathe with me. And sometimes I'll just sit. If they want to like rant about it, I'll sit and grab my body and I'll take deep breaths as they slow down.
Okay. Okay.
And then invite them to do a body work exercise like havening. I do havening technique. It's very great. And then I help them choose which havening. There's 3 different types that I show them. And I'll ask them which one was best, which one helped you the most. And so we get into tools pretty quickly when people are activated.
Yeah. What is havening?
Havening is physical touch, but it's very neurological directed. So the touch is focused on neural points, like energy points, that will tell the body that you're safe. Okay. So I'll show you here if you want to, and you can edit this. I'm sure. Cool. So this one, swiping the face down, and that's why facials feel so good, because you're activating these cranial nerves.
Okay.
That are stimulating your brain and telling you that you're safe.
Okay. So just so that for the people who are just listening, obviously she's rubbing her face, like starting at her forehead and going down her cheeks and just using a really, yeah.
Yep. And again, I describe this too on my calls, because I like to close my eyes. You're going to start at the forehead, swipe down to the cheeks. I keep my eyes closed. You're welcome to keep them open as fast, as slow as you want, light or heavy pressure, whatever feels good to you. Okay. I found that the facial havening supports those with like really anxious thoughts. So
that's
it's
amazing. Yeah. I love this too, because it really sounds like all of this work, or, you know, once they've gone through this, they can learn to do this themselves, and then they don't necessarily need a coach to walk them through. And I know this is something else you and I have talked about before as well. And I think that's another reason why you feel like this is more effective than therapy, because it's time limited, right? And there's lots of therapies out there that are brief, you know, there's brief solution focused therapy and that sort of thing. But this, so after the 6-month period, they're good to go. Do they ever need to come back for booster sessions or anything like that?
Yeah. So what I notice, and again, I have a program for this already. That was one of the first programs, is the membership. So the membership is a body session or coaching session once a month. Okay. And still get the library of resources, which is the Body, Mind, Spirit Library and the Regulation Lab. So like the havening we just did is in the Regulation Lab. And so if they forget how to do it, I'm there with you to practice. Same with the belief exercise, where we do some reframing of beliefs. I'm there with you to practice. So it's really like, you know what to do, but here's all your reminders. And if you want to come in for a session, you have this session that you can pay for once a month to make sure your body's needs are met. Because at that point, it's really just kind of a check-in.
Okay. Okay. So cool. Amazing. So tell us how people can find you. Where's the best place to connect with you if people are interested and want to hear more?
Yeah, for sure. My podcast number one, which you will be on, we're releasing season 2. Hopefully in the spring, April or May, we don't know yet, but the podcast is called The Avoidance and Control Podcast with Monique Gomez.
Okay.
Instagram is also where I hang out at Monique_Gomez_the_coach. And I do gifted consultations. So if you want to chat more about what I do, you can book one anytime.
Amazing. All right. And we will link all of that in the show notes so that people can definitely follow along, check you out, maybe schedule a free session. That sounds amazing. So yeah, any last tips or thoughts before we end today?
I do want to give the other havening description. So you're going to cross your arms over your chest, top of your shoulders, and you're going to swipe down to your elbow. Oh. Again, slow as fast as you want.
Okay.
And swipe down. I like to close my eyes again. If you don't, not with it, it supports your nervous system so much.
So good. Looks like you're giving yourself like a hug and a little like
petting yourself.
Yeah. It's like you're petting yourself and hugging yourself at the same time.
Yes, all the good vibes.
Oh my gosh, such great information and so much fun hanging out with you again today, Monique. And loved having you today. So thanks for being here.
Thank you, Jennifer. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks, everybody. And hope to see you here on the podcast next week.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to the Clarity to Cash podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please write a 5-star review and share with your biz besties. If you want to learn more, come visit me at jenniferjacobsonlifecoaching.com. That's Jacobson with a K. Talk to you next week.